Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving in today. Oh,
Father, Father, we don't need to escalate.
War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Ooh, what's going on? What's going on?
Today, March the 31st of 2018, this is Captain Fred, Republic Broadcasting Network. This is the Fifth Dimension Radio Show. And the questions posed today is, what's going on? What's going on? And why is it so difficult for us to have love and peace in our nation? When we are brothers and we are sisters and when we do know and we do understand how each of us are being taxed by this oppressive government, that there continues to be war as it has been for centuries. We look at the budget and we applaud the $1.3 trillion of debt. And we feel better about it because the largest percentage of it is going to the military. We've been threatened by wars all over the world. We deny the existence of wars all over the world. Last week, there was a military soldier that was killed in Syria. Of course, we're not in Syria fighting a war. Marvin Gaye years ago posed the question, what's going on? And what we need is some love here today. What we need to do is conquer hate. We need to understand. We need to talk to each other so that we'll understand what's going on. And the more division that we have in our country, the less we do talk to each other and the less we do understand what's going on. So with that in mind, I'd like to bring on Captain Chris. And today, Chris, what is going on? How do we know that what we're being led down isn't the same trail that our forefathers was led down for World War I, for the Civil War, for the War of 1812, for the Revolutionary War, and before the Revolutionary War, the French Indian War? The French Indian War was actually a world war, a global war is what they call it. Chris, help me out. Why should I be optimistic about a president who passes a bill that puts us into further debt for more war?
Well, the optimism I can find in this is that he is so almost universally despised by the establishment and the establishment's lapdog media. It's amazing the guy can get anything done, you know, and it's amazing that you ever hear anything about it, even when he does get things done. You know, I'm very disappointed in the Obamacare vote. I'm very disappointed in the fact that we don't have border security like he campaigned upon, and I think the spending's a little over the top. But you know, he's up against, and I keep saying this, I'm not particularly fond of Donald Trump, you know, as a personality. But on the other hand, what I've got to say is this, it's pretty evident that he ain't dumb. Whatever he's doing there, oh, they just can't stand him. You know, you can turn on two or three radio stations or TV stations, and I don't care what the story is. I heard on NPR one night something about the fall off in the attendance in NFL games, and they got around to trashing Trump. You know, like, how do you get
that? Well, the mainstream media, absolutely everybody that listens to this show, that listens to RBN, understands how the mainstream manipulates public opinion, how they manipulate perception. But here on RBN, we're trying to come up with some solutions to understanding what is going on. Why is it that everybody felt a sigh of relief when Trump was elected? Yet, I think...
Well, not everybody.
Well, not me, of course. You understood where I felt about.
Yeah, and all those gals in those hats, they didn't seem too happy. You know, the Not My President movement, which has been linked to a Russian bot program, not everybody was happy.
Well, do you believe that? I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe any of the stuff that's coming out of mainstream media?
You know, the thing is so much of it, if you listen to it, is spin and opinion and is not news. You know, and if you could take a sentence that's a fact, let's say you're watching a baseball game and Johnny hits the baseball. Okay? And so the news is, depending on how detailed you want to be, in the top of the seventh, Johnny hits the baseball into deep right field and clears the fence. Okay, that's the fact. Johnny hits a home run. Johnny hits the ball. Johnny hits a home run. So what you get with spin is, in another disappointing outing for the, you know, the opposing pitcher, you know, unable to control his curveball, hung one in there, and Johnny crushed this in a monstrous block. All of that stuff is opinion and spin. The fact is, Johnny hit the baseball, and the baseball cleared the right field fence. That's the fact. All the rest of that stuff is spin, and it's manipulation. You know, in the old days, when you have three television stations and maybe PBS or that goofball station up there, you know, up in the upper end, you know, later on, you kind of get Channel 35 or whatever it was. You know, Walter Cronkite would say, Johnny hit the baseball. And then later on, someone would comment on that. And someone would say, you know, it's disturbing to our hometown pitching, that, you know, that we can't get that, you know, that guy out when we need to. And that's opinion. But it isn't news when somebody says, in another, you know, a display of whole incompetence on the part of the management staff of the home team, Joey the pitcher who was left in when he should have been yanked, that everybody knows he should have been yanked, and they were telling that's all spin. And if you go listen to most of your mainstream media, that's what you hear. You hear spin with some factual, maybe sometimes it's not even factual.
Right, talking about
how people feel about how people feel.
Right. Well, Mark Twain said that I'm not one of those who is expressing opinions confined themselves to facts. You know, I don't think that the media really confines themselves to facts. I think they fabricate so much just for confusion. And I did a show last year or year before last on analysis paralysis, and I think they continually dump so much information through the mainstream media that we have a real paralysis of correct thinking. I mean, how can anybody think correctly when there's so much BS going around?
Well, there's no fact. There's no fact. In other words, what you get is Rachel Maddow commenting on some other television journalist's opinion of what James Clapper thought about what somebody said about this guy Steele. That's the news. That's their news. None of that is fact, unless you say this guy Steele wrote a dossier. That's a fact. But everything that follows after that is what are people saying about what somebody's thinking about, somebody's opinion about what somebody felt. And I really don't, you know, I don't care how people feel. It's like calling up your bank and what they've done is they've inappropriately frozen your accounts or something, or you call your insurance company and they did something really crazy and it's improper, and they start telling you that they're sorry. Like, I don't care. You know, I don't care that some help desk is telling me, because they're not, or I get a recording that tells me that the recording's sorry, which is a whole metaphysical concept right there. Could a recording ever right. be sorry? Or was the person who made the recording sorry when they made the recording? Probably not when they made the recording. But the point is who cares how people feel? The problem with the media is that you don't hear the facts. What are the facts? You know, the facts are, and here's what we're not getting. And again, I'm not here to tell you Donald Trump is a great personality, but I'll tell you this. Under the Obama administration, Yazidi girls were being sold on the Internet. Now, Yazidi is a kind of a religious, kind of quirky kind of group over in the Middle East. Over by where the Kurds are, you know, southeastern Turkey, northwestern Iraq, all that kind of stuff. They're all kind of over in that area. And the little girls that were being captured were being sold. Meanwhile, we have people talking
about... Well, how did you hear that?
Wait a second.
Let's qualify that. Where did you hear that?
Well, you know, because I do research on the Internet myself, you know, and the thing is, I couldn't tell you where I heard that. But the point is, I want to contrast that event. So what you have are human beings being sold. Now, there was slavery in this country, and it's a stain upon our history. I mean, we all acknowledge that. But by the way, within the last 5 years, people were being sold. Women were being sold. And now we've got, you know, people saying you shouldn't vote for Donald Trump because, you know, 15 years ago, when grabbing a tennis player's arm or something, he brushed her breast. This is, you're supposed to be outraged. But less than 5 years ago, young women were being sold into sexual slavery under the Obama administration. And it didn't seem to bother anybody. And since then, Trump, in a very short period of time, and probably linking up with other forces, military forces, has fairly run ISIS out of that area. Now, there's still pockets, but boy, they are definitely getting their butts kicked. You don't hear about that much. Now, that's an accomplishment. It's an accomplishment. And I say this because those nut job fundamentalists over there who were selling people, which is slavery, and we're talking about Black Lives Matter. Wait, all lives matter, particularly when people are being sold into slavery. We ought to be hearing about it. We ought to be doing something about it. And Trump did.
Well, we have our own slavery here in the United States. It's called debt slavery.
I hear you on that.
And there's a lot of debt slaves. There's a lot of debt slaves that sell themselves regularly to pay their bills, to feed their children. What's the difference? Neither one of them is voluntary, is it?
Well, but here's the difference, Fred. You know, when I'm talking about slavery, I'm not talking about a euphemism. I'm talking about when a person...
Chattel slavery.
Is bought and sold like a piece of furniture. And
right.
You can do, you know, you get your furniture and you want to break it up, you know, you want to use it for firewood, go ahead. You know, if you want to paint it, you know, if you want to, put it in the kitchen and let everybody who comes in the house sit, you know, because it's your property. It's like owning a toolbox or owning a brick or something. And that was going on, you know, and to contrast, to show you the fecklessness of how these people operate. Fundamentalists kidnapped a bunch of girls that Boko Haram kidnapped a bunch of African girls and dragged them into an analog of that kind of slavery. But because they were Africans, Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama, and that was a big deal. They're doing things to our girls, if you remember that story. Mm-hmm. That was all to energize the voter base for the Democratic Party to suggest that, you know, how the Democratic Party is really concerned about African Americans. I'm more concerned about the principle. I don't really care whether the person who's being sold into slavery turns out to be an African, or it turns out to be a Yazidi, or it turns out to be anybody else whose personal freedom is extinguished, and they're moved around like pieces of furniture. I think that's an outrage, and I think we should all, as Americans, resist
and I think we need to be careful about what we're outraged about.
Well, I think that's pretty basic, Fred.
I understand, but all I'm saying is that it's really difficult to wade through the misinformation, the lies, the different stories that appear in all media. And I think the only thing we can do to verify a lot of things is by firsthand information and verifying it through people that do have firsthand information. Well, if we select things from any kind of media source, then that's questionable. Even this program, even the Republic Broadcasting Network, we have to be critical of everything we see and hear.
You know, and I think that's at the basis of the democratic process. We need to question, and we need to dialogue with people. We talked about this at the end of, if it wasn't last week, it was the week before, and it's in the song that you played by Marvin Gaye. It says, talk to me, so we can see what's going on. You know, when our dialogue is shut down by name-calling, when someone says, if you say something, well, then you're a somethingist, and they don't, we're no longer dialoguing. We're finger-pointing and name-calling. That doesn't help us, because what we want to be doing is exploring the facts, not how we feel, but what is occurring. What is the logic of an argument, and what is the factual accuracy supporting that logical argument? That is what we ought to be doing with folks when we discuss what is going on. And we ought not to let people tell you that they're sorry, or that they're angry, or they're unhappy, or... And I just said I was outraged, you know, so who cares whether I'm outraged? It's less important that I'm outraged than the sale of human beings in the Middle East over there has stopped. Whether I'm outraged or not, that seems to have really been curtailed. And the other brutality of murders and religious bigotry by that ISIS group has seemed to be toned a lot down since Trump. And that's a fact. That's a statistical fact. That's not like how I feel about Trump or how someone else feels. You could like him or dislike him, but ISIS is just a shadow of what it was. And that's a fact. So the thing is, where and when do we hear that fact versus what do we hear in the media about how people feel? Or what is their opinion of someone else's opinion about how someone feels, which is what you get. So it's our obligation to find that, an obligation to express fact coherently in a logical construct politically. You know, like, we could talk about anything. We talk about firearms, you know, firearms laws. Where's the logic in the suggestion? Something must be done. What must be done and why? Give me a fact. Tell me how what you propose is going to factually relate to reality. And what your plan?
You know, we've got a break coming up here right now. But Mark Twain said, "Life does not consist mainly, or even largely, of facts and happenings. It consists mainly of a storm of thoughts that's forever boiling through one's mind." This is Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Folks, folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Vaughn doing remake of Jimi Hendrix's famous Little Wings. One of the Vietnam War era's favorite tunes. But war is what I'd like to try to discuss. And what it means is that back in October, Trump made a claim that when they did a photo op with all of the military personnel gathered for a dinner at the White House, he said it was the calm before the storm. That was October 5th. In December, he signed the $700 billion military spending bill that needed to be approved. And just last week, he signed the $1.3 trillion that that is our new budget, and of which is included in that $700 million. But doesn't this bode for...
$700 billion,
right. But that was part of the $1.3 trillion spending bill that he just had signed in by that Congress passed. Now, doesn't this seem to bode of war?
Well, yes and no. I mean, the idea is, the reason that you have an army, I think there are two reasons. One is either you believe that what you're going to do is you are going to appropriate with it. In other words, if you are Genghis Khan, what you're going to do is you're going to leave Lake Baikal and head to Hungary. That's where you're going. And you're going to just pick up all of that tribute. You're going to pick up all of the wealth in places and bring it on home. That's what you're going to do. You're going to appropriate with military. On the other hand, a military, ideally, is, to my mind, is the source of strength by which people don't attempt to appropriate from you. They don't attempt to take what is your interest because they know that the consequences aren't worth the game. And if you don't have a military and you are up against somebody who has a military to appropriate material or appropriate you, you lose. Now, you can kind of philosophically say, well, I don't care. I'm going to transcend all of this. I'll just accept somebody else being here. But very often, particularly when it's like a religious or politically based, they don't care about what you think. You think well, like they care about you.
Chris, you just said something that really struck a nerve. I mean, are we willing to accept somebody else here? But if you look at what's happening worldwide, we're putting the refugees in all these other countries by the wars that we're creating, aren't we?
I think that refugees are a consequence of conflict. Absolutely. People, whatever they got going on, don't want to be around when bombs are falling in their neighborhood. So you have a normal dislocation when there's a military conflict. On the other hand, in some of those areas over there, I would just guess that given any excuse or any ability, people are going to leave that area. I mean, what's going on? I mean, what is going on? I mean, you want to
What
live,
is going on? Yeah, you know, when I go to the health club down here, half of the people at the health club are Vietnamese. I mean,
you want to live outside of Hue in the jungle, or do you want to live in Los Angeles?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that one of those reasons why we have these wars isn't really correct. I mean, you know, if we want to keep people at their home, then we've got to quit bombing them.
Well. Yeah, there's some issues going on there, you know, and there are, and this is where I think intelligent discourse with fact and logic addressing this situation needs to prevail, because people can feel very strongly. I hate war. This should be no wars. Okay, well,
all right. Well, Chris, let me put in a plug. The call, we got a couple of callers online right now. The number to call into the station is 1-800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Captain Fred, there are so many people in the neighborhood, but we've got a couple of people hanging online right now. Chris, let's take Mirror in Wisconsin. Mirror, welcome back. Welcome aboard. This is Captain Fred and Chris on the line. What's going on today?
Hi, Captain Fred and Captain Chris. There's a chat room, right? I posted about the Yazidi in there. I got interested in that a couple of years ago, actually from Douglas Duane Dietrich. I don't know if you know of him.
I sure do.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's the one that first I heard talk about it, so I started looking into it. So there's Ashraf Eset's work and some other, but also a direct link about exactly what Captain Chris was talking about the slavery.
Really?
Over the Internet, yes. See, that's part of what was going on with this act on the Internet. You know, we tend to guilt ourselves and think they're all after us, but there's something you have to really recognize. Now, the omnibus is not a bill. It's free spending. Obama signed several of them, and then what did he do? He pocketed the money, of course. You know, that's why everything was falling apart. That's why the military needs to be built up to some degree. And Hilda Beast, oh my Lord, she just left the State Department wide open to be raped, you know, let alone every other thing she did and does. But I think she's probably got her little monitors on her if she's not even a clone by now.
Mara, do you see that people around you are beginning to see the cracks in this shell that's around our reality? I mean, The media continues to build this perception of what we are or what we're doing, and it doesn't really seem to ring true with reality. I mean, do you see your friends reacting to things that are happening?
Well, I'm kind of on my own here, but I'm constantly trying to contact people and work with people on the web and treat them like I want to be treated as much as I can, but to let them know. Now, you say media. It is the Talmud stream media. We have to get over this Jew fear, okay? They use three Listen, they use three
tactics. Oh, no, I have to agree. My father wrote a book about that in 1975, and before him it was Gerald L.K. Smith, who was a presidential candidate in 1944.
But if you watch their propaganda on the boob tube, or even YouTubes, or even read things by them, they're very clever. Like we had these Jew trolls, Joshua Ryan Goldberg, 2.5 years ago, and Michael Ron Kadar. Now, Trump sent 12 FBI into Israel and busted him. And they do all these international crimes of stealing Bitcoin, making planes have to land, but mostly calling into JCC, calling into Jewish centers. So it's
we have to remember one thing. Merv, when we speak like this, we need to be very clear that we are speaking about the Zionist.
Let me stop you. I'm tired of this disclaimer. I know what we're talking about. Zionism is a euphemism. They call themselves Jews. Maybe they are not, but in reality, right here and now, we need to use that term. If we're
well, the other Jews are the stupid Jews. The stupid Jews are the ones that are occupying the Gaza Strip.
Well, I'm sure there's Jews that are just. Listen, I'm sure there are Jews. Wait a minute. I'm sure there are.
It's Chris's turn. Go ahead, Chris.
Being a Christian, I my heritage is Jewish. So, I've got a problem with what's wrong with Jews. Christ was a Jew, and my heritage is Jewish. I read the Old Testament, you know. So I have a tough time with a brush that paints a religion, which is part of my heritage. I'm a Christian.
Exactly. That's what Mira was talking about also. She's tired of the disclaimer, but I think the disclaimer needs to be repeated myself, because it's not the stupid Jews that are sitting over there in Gaza Strip occupying. It's the people that are occupying the media.
Okay, is it my turn? I'm sorry about talking over. I do this talking over all the time, but I have a little bit of...
You're fine. No, we love each other here. That's why we're talking.
Well, listen, we are spirits, first and foremost, and I know Christ in spirit. I know him personally, okay? Christianity is a religion. Christ wasn't a Christian. Don't be throwing out Christ with a Christianity bathwater. It's been so perturbed. Religion is a man-made construct or destruct for control, much like medicine and education and everything else. And underlying it are the ones that hold the purse strings and do the propaganda. Their main three tactics, I'll tell you this and then I can get off if you want me to, are blood, sacrifice.
Well, we do have one more caller, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
Blood, sacrifice, this is most important. I usually don't say this one, but this has to be said. Blood, sacrifice, usury, and sodomy. And of course their propaganda leads us to be able to go for all of them. Wars are nothing but us killing each other off for them to get reset on the cash and the debt.
And, I do have to interrupt you a little bit. I go to the National Cemetery pretty often to visit my father's grave. And when I'm there, I look down the rows of the tombstones. And, I don't see very many markings on those stones other than Christian markings.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If that says anything. But we do need to move on here. Mira, thank you so much for calling. And what was the name of that website again that you said that you'd found the information about the slavery? Oh, okay. Mira's out of here now. Let's bring on Mark in Florida. Is Mark still online? Hello,
yes,
Mark.
I am.
How you doing, Mark? What's going on today?
I'm doing good. Well, I wanted to bring up what your guest was talking about, facts and evidence, and then he mentioned that by Trump's efforts that ISIS has been degraded, which I would say, well, maybe it's because of the Russians. But as far as facts and evidence, factually, what is ISIS?
Good point. What is ISIS?
Well, you know, there are different components of the same concept. I mean, one, it's a political organization. At another level, it was a geopolitical entity. It was a country. It was a caliphate. So it's also a belief structure. So there's a philosophy behind ISIS, but there was a geopolitical event that occupied territory and controlled oil, generated money, and enslaved people. That's different than the mindset of, a fundamentalist religious aggression. But the geopolitical
Let me step in. You're getting too far off. So factually, what you're saying is ISIS is a gang of renegades funded by the Pentagon?
No, I didn't say that at all.
I think that's what he said.
Okay, I know you didn't say that, but you're not giving me any facts or evidence. You're saying a bunch of things that just make it more cloudy and more sophisticated.
Wait just a second. Mark has a very good point. I mean, what factual evidence do we have about who ISIS actually is?
Okay, if you weren't in the Middle East, then I guess the argument is you can't possibly know. From all accounts, what I understand, that in the power vacuum that occurred after the Second Gulf War, religious fundamentalists, Sunni fundamentalists, set up their own state. And that state occupied portions of Syria. It occupied portions of Iraq. And it controlled a considerable amount of wealth in the forms of oil production that was illegally sold. This is what I understand. And it was run by a group of people who had a religious philosophy. And the philosophy was that the religion controlled the organization and the laws of the state that occupied that territory. That's what I understood ISIS to be at one level.
What you're saying is not a CIA operation, it's not a Pentagon operation, it's not a Mossad operation. It's a gang of madmen running around that fund themselves by working part-time at Walmart. I don't know. It takes a whole lot of money and a whole lot of food and a whole lot of stuff to do this. Well, where does that money come from? It doesn't come from them working part-time at Walmart.
No, it actually
came
from...
Well, I don't know. All the children protesting last week, they had a lot of money.
The money for ISIS, actually, if you look back on it, from my understanding, came from religious fundamentalists in the United Arab Emirates and in Saudi Arabia. Because what you're looking at is, when I say geopolitical, I mean concepts that are global in ideas and in function and consequence. The Sunni Muslims are in Saudi Arabia. Shia Muslims are in, the Shiites are in Persia. And the Saudis were being encircled by Shias. And they've been fighting, it's sort of like Catholics and Protestants in Europe in the centuries past. They don't like each other. And they've been fighting each other, sometimes politically, sometimes with bombs and guns. And what happened is that the Saudis did and still do fund people who fight the Shiites.
That's right.
And the Shiites fund people who fight the Sunnis. It's been going on today. It was going on 100 years ago, and it went on 1,000. It's been going on for 1,000 years. These people have had disagreements about the ascendancy of what faction of Islam is legitimate, and they view each other as heretics. They hate each other.
Well, hey, listen, Chris, let me ask you this. You know, one of the things you bring up a lot on the program is where is Black Lives Matter? Well, you know, Black Lives Matter was a whipping boy tool for the media to incite what you thought was, or and we both have to agree, was an attempt to inflame voters or minority voters. But then again, too, ISIS could be the same kind of... the same kind of red herring that the Black Lives Matter is, as far as we know.
Well, I view that differently, and here's why. Statistically, young black men will be shot by police, and police will be shot by young black men every month, every year. That's going to happen. Whether there's media attention and focus on that's a different issue. But when you go over to what was happening in the Middle East with ISIS, there was not a caliphate in the area of Iraq and Syria during the time of Saddam Hussein. There just wasn't. There wasn't a caliphate. There was after Saddam Hussein. And those are facts. And the idea about why did that caliphate arise, there are religious reasons, and they were funded. There are geopolitical reasons from the Saudis' perspective. And the look at a map. Just look at a map, and you will see if the Persians get access, and they it looks like they're getting it, through Syria to the Mediterranean, they have a way to pipeline their oil that allows them to ship oil outside of the Persian Gulf. You know, the Saudis and the United Arab Emirates are in the Persian Gulf. I mean, this isn't a matter of philosophy. It's just a matter of reading a map. And you can see what the battle lines are. The Russians have an interest. They have a naval base in the eastern Mediterranean in Syria, and they've had it. They want to hang on to that. If the Syrian government of Bashar Assad fall, they stand to lose that eastern Mediterranean base, and they don't have another base there. It's sort of like the base in the Crimea, you know. They need that base to be able to operate.
Chris, I think that...
Just read the map.
I think that if we look at the maps and we look at what's going on, we have to admit that the best... My best estimate of what's happened is that we just destabilized enough of the Middle East that the outflow of people from the war is collapsing and destabilizing all of the Western countries in Europe.
And for reasons more than just the war, you will look at the population statistics and you will see that virtually all of the northern European countries have almost no population growth and are headed into negative growth.
Really? Where did you see that? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
Before we get into the economics, I'd just like to add that wherever you see a U.S. flag, that is a battlefield, whether it's on your public library, or whether it's in Yemen. The U.S. flag is an indication of a battlefield. So wherever that flag is, everybody is subject to military attack, whether it's by the mayor or somebody else, or the police. And what that does is, what are the interests of my freedom and my liberty and my right to my property and my right to grow tomatoes? How is that threatened by any place else on the face of the earth other than the U.S. government? Russia's not stealing it from me. China's not stealing it from me. So there's something that we don't know that they're not telling us, the reason why we're bombing everywhere and everywhere else is bombing everywhere. And it's the same thing as who is actually ISIS. We know nothing, so we're left with hypotheses and our best guesses.
Well, I think that the military is so much part of our culture that it's hard to separate who the military actually is anymore. I mean, we've got our high schools creating football players that there's only 1,200 professional football player jobs that if they don't make it in the professional level, their only best option for job occupation or benefits is the military. So, you know, our culture has set up a military, it's almost like, I think, like ancient Rome. The gladiatorial creation. I mean, the kids were chosen to go to gladiator school.
Well,
because they were useful. They were they were cannon fodder.
I love you, buddy. You're out there.
You know, sometimes we got to put ourselves out there if we really want to see what's going on. We talk about things, and that was part of the theme today is let's talk. You know, and like Mirror, she talked about the Jewish media, and Mark, he's talking about the how do we believe this, and who does affect our ability to grow our tomatoes here more than the United States federal government.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same as asking, factually, what is a Democrat? Factually, what is a Republican? Is that just a church of Satan, you know, under the disguise of a Democrat or Republican? We don't know who runs these things.
These days.
Go ahead, Chris, it's your turn.
Yeah, so it's just a little hard to tell these days, you know, who's a Democrat and who's a Republican. They sure act alike, you know what I mean?
I think you were the one, Chris, that was saying that the Republicans and the Democrats aren't really part of Trump's political group.
They're alligators, and they're in the swamp. It's their swamp. They're not going to give it up. That's my view. The difference between Democrats and Republicans, and we've talked about it on this show today. You know, they use distraction points to keep us arguing and fighting amongst ourselves so we don't pay attention to the fact that they're stealing from us political rights and money.
You and I have both talked about the balanced budget amendment. You know, there's no discussion about any kind of balancing the budget anymore. It's just how much more can we add to it?
No one seems to even really care. You know, there's that. You know, the other thing is taxation. You know, The Republican end was talking about the greatest tax cuts and how it was helping the economy. Well, imagine if there were a use tax. And imagine if people couldn't benefit their political allies and punish their political opponents with the tax code. And every time you bought something, you saw what money you were giving to the government. You'd be aware of what the taxation rate was. And everybody gets to pay it. There are no exceptions. And we need fundamental correction by way of constitutional amendment. But you know something? I may not agree with what, you know, a particular caller, or even you sometimes, Fred, may have to
most
say.
Most times.
You know something? Yeah. But you know what? The diversity in political positions is accepted. In other words, I can listen to someone say something, and I don't agree with that. You know, I am very protective of the Jewish component of my heritage. I've got Jewish friends, and the other thing is that I've been raised to understand that Christ was not here to change the law. The thing is, we have Jewish heritage, and if you've ever been to a Passover meal, you understand what I'm talking about. And I've been invited, and have attended Passover Seder. But I digress. We accept and tolerate differences of opinion because those are our values and what our responsibility is in accepting and in tolerating different opinions is to ask someone, what are the facts and what is the logic of your position? Explain it to me. I could be
wrong. Well, there are a lot of facts that point to the manipulation by a small group of people of all of our media outlets.
Oh, I agree that there could be a conformity of interest, but I have a difficult time understanding that a group of 10 people are sitting in a room somewhere calling the shots for everybody, not because I don't think that I don't have any proof except my experience that tells me is things are too screwed up and people's discipline is just too flaky to allow that type of behavior to really rule. I don't think that that's the case. On the other hand, if someone were to tell me that people were paying into the Clinton Foundation to gain access and to get to the head of the line about influence in the government, I would have to say, yeah, I believe that. And so is there some sort of effort and some sort of choke point or funneling of political interest and behaviors? I'd have to say, sure. But is there a singular group that's sitting around in Wittenberg in a castle somewhere, the Council of Foreign Relations? You've got 12 people calling on, you know, what's the price of bread going to be in Los Angeles in 2 years? I think that's just I think that's too hopeful. It means that people are
Let me jump in here. Let me jump
in
there,
Mark. Yeah,
there is a group now. If we were run by Catholics or Jews or Baptists or Seventh-day Evangelists, we'd be in outrage. However, we are run by a gang called lawyers, and nobody gets arrested or charged or investigated without the approval of a lawyer. And when the lawyers are running the banks and the government and everything else, you wonder why Kwame Kilpatrick, this is Detroit years ago, stayed mayor of Detroit while being indicted. And I think once he was convicted, he had to resign to actually lose the office, even after he was in jail. Those are the bad guys to win.
Well, hey, Mark, I appreciate your call today. Thank you so much. Chris, thank you so much.
Thank everybody for listening, for calling in. It's been a fun week.
All right. Well, hey, listen, everybody do enjoy, and tomorrow is Easter, so have
Happy
a good
Easter.
One.
Happy Easter. Do something
in. Yeah, that's a thing. The ghost side, baby. That's a cold shadow. Yeah, that's a thing. That's a cold shadow, baby.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.